Ladies and gentlemen, it's a privilege to be before you tonight for the final speech of this entire debate, and I definitely want to echo the comments of Mr. Reeves, and I'd also like to show my appreciation toward Pastor Richard Whittington and the congregation of Pershing United Pentecostal Church for hosting the first two nights of this debate. I'd also like to show my appreciation to the elders of the Highway 65 Church of Christ, also to Mr. Reeves and the gentlemen at his table, and they are indeed gentlemen. I'd also like to say thanks to my moderator, Brother John Carroll, for taking from time from his family and coming to the state of Arkansas to be with us this week. And especially I want to say a thank you to my beautiful wife, Nicole, and during these studies, taking time from my family, and she has been very understanding of that. Now, Mr. Reeve made the statement that there was a lot of things in his affirmative that I didn't respond to. Well, Bruce, you really didn't make much of an affirmative argument. Your proposition says the Scriptures teach that the baptizer may say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism be valid. Friends, the issue tonight is Matthew 28:19, and I am the only speaker tonight that has spent the time talking about it. Chart after chart after chart on Matthew 28:19. How do we obey Matthew 28:19? That is the issue. He said, apply what you said about Matthew 28:19 to Acts 2:38. Friends, Acts 2:38 is the fulfillment of Matthew 28:19. My chart, number 27. Or 72. Bruce said that I wanted Acts 2:38 to do away with Matthew 28:19. Friends, it doesn't do away with Matthew 28:19. It is obeyed. It is the obedience of Matthew 28:19. How did the early church obey Matthew 28:19? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he did not stand up there and say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He obeyed the command of baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost by commanding baptism in the name of the one person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't do away with it. It fulfills it. Chart number 74. Friends, it all boils down to this issue. How did the early church obey the command of Matthew 28:19? That's the real issue. The command was given in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And time after again in the book of Acts, this was obeyed by commanding baptism in the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 8:16, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10:48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 19:5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. These are the approved examples in the book of Acts of the command of Matthew 28:19 being obeyed. And not one time were the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost repeated. They always obeyed the commission by commanding baptism in the name of Jesus. And so, friends, the issue tonight, the issue of this whole debate, is what does that phrase in the name of mean? And we have told you over and over again what that phrase means. My chart number 10. We showed you from the authority of the Scriptures, from the Old Testament, that in the name of means to speak the name. Bruce failed to talk about these Scriptures. He has failed to talk about the consistent use of in the name of. We showed you from the passages of the New Testament, my chart number 12, that the phrase in the name of, the scriptural authority says that in the name of means to orally pronounce the name. What did he say about this? And John answered him and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him. It's not a statement of authority. He wasn't saying, now Jesus, we saw one casting out devils by your authority, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. No, the reason why they forbid him is because they did not believe he was authorized. So the statement, in thy name, it's not a statement of authority. It's a statement of what they heard orally pronounced. How would they know that he cast out devils in Jesus' name if the name was not pronounced? And friends, it all boils down to, what does the phrase "in the name of Jesus" mean? It all boils down to, how did the book of Acts, New Testament church, obey the command of Matthew 28:19? And they obeyed that command by baptizing in the name of Jesus. And that phrase "in the name of" means to orally pronounce the name. We have the authority of the scriptures. Chart number 48. Now, last night, Bruce challenged me to show some scholars that say that "in the name of" means to pronounce the name. And friends, I gave you scholar after scholar after scholar, and he talks about the books on his table. Bruce, why don't you crack that book out right there, Bauer, Gingrich, Danker, page 288. Just crack it out. Page 288. The formula "in the name of," used with many verbs, probably means in connection with or by the use of naming, calling out, calling upon the name. Bruce says it doesn't have anything to do with calling on the name. Friends, he flies in the face of the most authoritative Greek scholars, even the one he tried to use, Joseph Thayer. The issue tonight is, what does the phrase "in the name of" mean? Give me my chart number 66. Now, Bruce says in here that what he was stating was Dr. Shields' position. It's not what you say, it's what you do. It's not simply about making a verbal pronouncement. It's not what you say, it's what you do. If I say what Jesus said to do, I cannot go to heaven, and you cannot go to heaven. Now, his position is that you cannot say what Jesus said to do. Friends, we want to know, are you doing what Jesus said to do? In my questions, I asked Bruce to please say your name to the audience. And what did he say? He said, "Bruce Allen Reeves." He understands the difference between saying what you're told to do and doing what you're told to do. So simply repeating the words of Matthew 28:19, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," it does not do what Jesus told you to do. It's got to be "in the name." And the early church obeyed that by baptizing in the name of Jesus. My chart number 35. Now, Bruce said that I didn't deal with what he said about name equal in person. Friends, I dealt with that last night. I showed you, when he talked about designation, reputation, authority in person, I showed you that you can't separate the designation from the person. Now, I used this chart last night and he didn't refer to it. You can't separate a person's name from the person. You can't separate the reputation from either the designation or the person. You may not know them personally, but you know their name. How do you know their reputation? Because you know their name. So that was dealt with last night. Give me Bruce's chart number 208. Now, Bruce tried to ridicule me by saying that we need Bible authority in our own life. Give me my chart number 30. We gave you Bible authority last night, friends. Bible authority for having the name of Jesus called over you. And what did Bruce have to say about it? Nothing. You talk about silent as a tomb, Bruce. Bruce needs to sweep around his own front door before he starts sweeping around mine. Give me Bruce's chart number 144. Name singular. Give me my chart number 70. Let's get to it. Hold my time just for a second. Friends, let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 3, verse 13. Thank you. Bruce brings up a passage here, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he tries to compare this with the passage in Genesis 48, the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Friends, this is not even grammatically concord to Matthew 28:19. Let's give you a passage that is. Let's all turn to Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. The God, singular noun, of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. It's the same grammatical structure as Matthew 28:19. Now, if Matthew 28:19 is not talking about one name, then neither is Acts 3:13 talking about one God. Now, is it one God or is it three gods? Is it one name or is it three names? Friends, it's only one God and it's only one name. Give me Bruce's chart number 7. Now, Bruce talked about the seven sons of Sceva. Anyone want to know why they couldn't do it? Now, Jason said, it's all about his name. It's all about his name. That's right, friends. It is all about his name. And what is it about his name? Even to them that believe on his name. The seven sons of Sceva didn't believe in that name. They didn't have faith in that name because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. That believing you might have life through his name. Now in Acts chapter 19, Bruce is talking about the seven sons of Sceva, and he said, and the name of the Lord was magnified. Well, according to Bruce's view, that must mean the authority of the Lord got bigger and bigger and bigger. Bruce's chart number 7. He said that the raising of Dorcas, that marked Bruce's chart number 7. He said that the raising of Dorcas that Mark 16 said, they did it in his name. No, friends, Mark 16 says, in my name shall they cast out devils. I said that last night, and Bruce has totally ignored it. Maybe he didn't hear me. Mark 16:17 says, in my name shall they cast out devils. Was he casting a devil out of Dorcas? No. It's not concord, friends. You can't just grab a scripture here and grab a scripture there and try to put them together. He's pulling Mark 16:17 out of thin air. See, Mark 16:17 said they did it in Jesus' name. No, it doesn't. It didn't say that they raised Dorcas in Jesus' name in Mark 16:17. Mark 16:17 says, in my name shall they cast out devils. The raising of Dorcas has nothing to do with casting out devils. Bruce's chart number 17, Bruce's chart number 72. What's my time? Wow, 17 and 17, we're dead on. Bruce's chart number 72. Bruce said that I didn't even talk about Ephesians 4 and relationship. Now, friends, I put the chart up, and then I also put Bruce's chart up on Matthew 28:19 with the Greek word eis that also talked about relationship. And then I put up my chart number 16, put it up, chart number 16, which dealt with eis. Now, what has he said about this? What does the phrase into the name of mean? Into the name equals with mention of the name. Now, Bruce, the books you keep talking about, break that one open right there on the bottom. You guys ain't even touching it. Now, I know it's green underneath that cover, but that ain't kryptonite. Don't be scared of it. Bauer, Gingrich, Danker, page 572. What does it mean to be baptized into the name of? It means that you become under the possession of and come under the protection of the one whose name he bears. He is under the control of the effective power of the name and the one who bears the name. He is dedicated to them. An additional factor to a degree in the sense of into the name equals with mention of the name. Friends, it has to do with mentioning the name. Chart number 175. Bruce's chart 175. You know, are these PowerPoint presentations actually better than the old slides? I don't know. 175. Thank you. Is that 175 up there? Now, you know what Bruce said tonight? Bruce said tonight, if Jason says the divine spirit, Bruce's chart doesn't say the divine spirit. It says a divine spirit. I tried to get Bruce to say that on Monday and Tuesday night. I've been trying since Monday and Tuesday to get Bruce to say the divine spirit. And finally we've got him to say it, but they haven't changed the chart yet. You know, the Jehovah's Witness teach that Jesus was a divine spirit. But Jesus wasn't a divine spirit. He was the divine spirit. He is the divine spirit of God. God manifests in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, Bruce also made this comparison between humans and animals and said, well, it's just an animal sacrifice up there. But friends, when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, he became a living soul. And animals don't have a soul. See, it's a straw man argument. It's simply a straw man argument. His chart's number 209, 210, 211. Give me my chart number 60. Bruce wasted his time on the Godhead. His proposition tonight, my chart number 90. Excuse me, I can't read my own writing. My chart number 90. There he is again, beating that same dead horse. Now his proposition tonight, please put his proposition up. His proposition tonight is to prove that the baptizer may say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and that baptism be valid. Friends, what proof did he give you from the Bible? How did he prove it to you? We showed you that Matthew 28:19, obeyed in the book of Acts, was obeyed by commanding baptism in the name of Jesus. My chart's number 75. Because friends, it is all about His name. It's all about the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name of the Father. Jesus is the name of the Son. Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in what? His name. Not their name. In His name. That through His name, whosoever believeth shall receive remission of sins. Friends, it's not just remission of sins. It's not just water baptism for remission of sins. It's water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You cannot go around the name. In the name of means to orally pronounce the name. Chart number 76. The prophets gave witness that through His name. Friends, if you don't have that name called upon you in baptism, you went down a dry center, you came up a wet center. And friends, I admonish you tonight, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus, go through His name, have that name called upon you, and receive the remission, the washing away of sins in baptism. Because it is through His name. What's my time? Sorry, 12 minutes. Chart number 69. The issue tonight, friends, is Matthew 28:19. How do we obey Matthew 28:19? Matthew 28:19 is synonymous with Luke 24:47. Matthew recorded Jesus as saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Luke recorded this synonymous commission as that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. The word preached is caruso. It means to announce, to proclaim. It's something that is verbally pronounced. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Luke recorded this as it should be preached in His name. The phrase in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is synonymous with the phrase in His name. The only way you can obey the command of Matthew 28:19 is to be baptized in His name. The one name of Jesus Christ. The name is singular. What did he say about this? What did he say about the name of the Father? John 17:11, Holy Father, keep them in thy name which thou hast given me. The name of the Son is the name of the Father that was given to him. The Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How was it obeyed, friends? That is the issue of this debate tonight. How was it obeyed? Peter commanded them to be baptized, and did he repeat the words, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? No. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The New Testament church obeyed the command of Matthew 28:19 by baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, the one singular name of Jesus Christ. Chart number 85. Silence of the Scriptures. Friends, Bruce believes that the Scriptures are silent concerning the words of what a baptizer could say when he baptizes. Now you take that same doctrine that you teach on instrumental music. You believe that the Scriptures are silent about instrumental music, and Bruce says that that silence is prohibitive. You guys teach that since you believe that the Scriptures are silent about instrumental music, that to use instrumental music is a sin. Bruce said, when God specifies, do it in this way, whether through direct statement or necessary implication or approved example, when he does that, his silence is prohibited. Friends, apply that to the issue tonight. Bruce says the Scriptures are silent concerning the orally spoken words of a baptismal formula. Therefore, according to Bruce's logic, to say anything during baptism is prohibited by the Scriptures. Now, you know that's not your practice. You know that's not your practice. You know when you baptize, you say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins. And friends, the fact is you cannot find an approved example in the book of Acts or in the epistles of anyone using the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in connection to baptism. Bruce said, I preach to the people the gospel of Christ, and when I'm baptizing them, they already know what they are doing is by the authority. They already know it, friends. He's not telling them something they don't already know. They know that truth, and I'm not informing them of anything when I baptize. Then, Bruce, why do you say anything when you baptize? You guys don't get up there and baptize and just dunk them and be quiet about it and do silent baptism. You know you say something when you baptize. The reason why Bruce says something when he baptizes is because in reality, he believes that the phrase in the name of means that that's what he's supposed to say. That's why he repeats those words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But friends, he's not doing what Jesus said to do. He's simply saying what Jesus said to do. Chart number 77. Chart number 77. Friends, I want to encourage you tonight. We receive remission of sins through His name. It is baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You can't sidestep. You can't pirouette around it. You can't get rid of it. It's baptism in the name. Orally invoking that name, our sins are forgiven through the instrument of His name. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, by means of the Word, by means of that spoken Word. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by means of the verbal utterance. That verbal utterance is the name of Jesus called upon you. Friends, we believe, Bruce and I agree that we must baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We both agree that we have to baptize in the name of Jesus for it to be valid. It's got to be in the name of Jesus for the sinner to receive remission of sins. We've proven to you that in the name of means to orally speak the name. So we've got to orally pronounce the name of Jesus for that baptism to be valid, for that person to go down to that water and to receive the remission of sins. They must have that name called over them. They are washed by the means of that verbal utterance. And friends, so I can encourage you tonight, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if you've never been baptized and had that precious name of Jesus called over you in baptism, friends, come out of tradition, come out of man's religion, come into the truth. Let someone baptize you the scriptural way in the name of Jesus Christ, calling that name upon you, and you'll come up a new creature, having your sins remitted. I thank you for your time.